Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, you might turn with me to Luke, the second chapter. A few moments ago, you witnessed an illustration acted out by our children of the providence that is the power sustaining, guiding the destiny of man and the world, the power of God to his desired end. Do you realize that God has a plan for this world? I mean, even as they illustrated this morning, those trees that grew on the hill or on the mountainside, there was a plan, a bigger plan. Now, you know, we have a little tendency to make inanimate objects to be animate, to humanize them in order for our illustrative purposes. But in fact, one of those trees did become the manger in which Jesus lay. One of those trees became the boat that he slept in until his disciples in great fear called out, "Help us." And he said, "Peace, be still." And then one of those trees became a cross. God knew before they were ever planted the destiny of those trees. If he cares that much about trees, how much do you think he cares about us? Those who are made in his image and his likeness, those that he has breathed that breath of life into their bodies so that they could become a living soul, those that he sustains that breath. You wonder if God cares, then reach out and grab the next breath. Because see, he could have just breathed once and that was it, one breath, that's all you got. And though he set in motion an incredible flow of breath that many of us don't appreciate until something happens. We get a cold or the flu or an asthma or something or other, and breath comes hard. And then all of a sudden, we appreciate every single one of those breaths. Maybe it wouldn't hurt for us to say thank you for just a moment to the God who gives us breath. Huh? Say, "Oh, I do that on my own." Well, that's arrogant. God breathed into man and he became a living soul. We get those precious breaths from our Lord. And it helps us, see, in these little bitty things, it helps us to always be constantly aware that God has a bigger plan. Even as he had a plan, if you will, for those trees to ultimately serve the Savior, he has a plan for every single one of our lives to ultimately serve the Savior. And even as the trees had different functions, so do we. Praise the Lord, not everybody can be the preacher. Whew. World could not take it. But we can all be a witness. We can all take our place. I'm going to take you to the Word of God, to an individual, and this will be repetition for many of you. And in your humanity, you may have a sense to just kind of brush it aside, but if you'll take just a moment to reminisce with me over this story, I believe the Holy Spirit can bring something new to your thought, to your heart. You can walk out of here this morning saying, "You know, I never thought of that, but it'll be beneficial to your life from this point forward." In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 21, we read these words: "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived." Now notice that. The angel of the Lord came and said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus. where he will save his people from their sins. There was a plan before he was ever conceived, before he was ever born. There was a plan for the redemption of mankind. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to bring and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There is not in all of the Word of God a more prophetic picture than the picture that is here. The first thing that I would call your attention to there is in verse number 25. It says, he was waiting. Here is a man who is waiting, and the scripture says, for the consolation of Israel. That term in the original language means an exhortation, an encouragement, a comfort. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. They were under the oppressive rule of the Roman government. And he was praying and seeking God for the day where Israel would be established. In other words, he was waiting for them to be under self-rule and that God would be their king again. Can I tell you this morning that Israel's still waiting? In our generations, we have seen, as May of 1948, in a single day, as Israel became a nation. That was part of what Simeon was looking for. Isn't that amazing? You and I setting right in the midst of the Word of God. But see, it wasn't completed in that, because he was wanting that God would become the king over Israel, as was promised, that he would sit on David's throne. He didn't know how that was going to happen, but he was longing for it. And can I tell you this morning that that is yet to take place? Even with the establishment of the nation of Israel, there's coming a day that the Word of God tells us that Jesus will reign from Jerusalem on the throne of David. And the lion will lie down next to the lamb. And oh my goodness, it's going to be an incredible time. But here's the point. You and I are still living in the midst of the hope of Simeon. How incredible is that? Okay, I think it's incredible. Let's put it that way. Okay. See, his longing was not just a political benefit. His longing was for his people to be saved and for there to be peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. In verse number 26, it said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. The Lord spoke into his life and said, you're not going to leave this earth until you see the Lord's Christ, that is, God's Messiah, come to earth. Can you imagine getting up each day and wondering, is this the day? I wonder if this is going to be the day. I wonder if this will be the day that the Messiah will come. I wonder if this will be the day. I wonder how he'll come. Will he come marching into Jerusalem on a great white steed and take over? How will he come? Because see, all that the Lord told him was that you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. So there would have been all kinds of questions in his mind. And understand this, that the prophets had said these things literally hundreds of years prior to Simeon. And so he was a rare person who believed that the Messiah was still going to come. Because he was a devout man. That means he loved God, was longing after God. And because of that, he maintained in his heart the possibility by faith that it was going to happen. And see, there was something more, and that was that he wasn't going to die until he saw him. Now, how incredible would that be? You know, to just walking out your days, and as you went through your teenage years and you went through your early adult years, and every evidence was that he was an older man at this point in time. And so the clock is ticking, and he's thinking, did I hear the message wrong? Did I miss what was told me? I mean, I've always had this in my heart, and I've been longing for that day when the Messiah would come. I wonder if I misheard. As I'm getting up there now in age, but God said that I was going to still be alive. And then one day, the Lord said, go to the temple. Now that's not a hard thing. That wasn't something that was outside the character or the nature of Simeon, because he was accustomed to going to the place of prayer three times a day and to ministering before the Lord. As his work was completed, he even had more time to go and spend in the temple of the Lord. So he perhaps thought, well, I'm just being drawn there so that I can spend some more time in prayer. But then when he goes into the temple, he sees a baby being brought in dedication according to the law. Can you imagine? Come on, just turn your imagination on just a little bit. Put yourself in Simeon's shoes. He's been longing. He's been waiting. He's been waiting for the answer. He's been waiting for the promise. He's been waiting because God said he was sending Jesus. He was sending the consolation that he was looking for, the answer for all mankind. And Simeon, all of a sudden, his spirit leaped within him and says, see that baby? That baby is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I'm not sure
if he stood there spellbound for a moment or two and watched them as they had their sacrifice there. I'm not sure if he immediately ran over and grabbed the baby. I mean, that would have been a little scary. Old man grabs baby in temple. you can kind of bring it into the humanity of the situation as he makes his way over. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks into our hearts, we want to be sure. We want to be certain. It's not like that he puts up a neon sign in front of us, but he speaks gently and quietly inside of us. And you think, okay, now, was that really the voice of the Lord? And I was kind of expecting a big guy. I was kind of thinking maybe, you know, that he would come and be taller than me. I mean, Messiah, Savior of all mankind. This is not exactly what I was expecting. And here are these two poor young people. They didn't even have enough money to bring the full load of sacrifice. They brought some pigeons, which meant they were poor. And here they are with these pigeons, bringing them in as the sacrifice for purification. Oh, I don't know. Could this really be the child? Holy Spirit said, this is the one that I spoke to you. And so here Simeon makes his way over to Mary and Joseph and says to them, would it be okay if I held your baby? You know, you ask a mother, you don't just take a baby out of the mother's arms. Hello? May I take your baby?
Now you imagine what was going through Simeon. What was going through Simeon was hundreds of years of the prophetic work of God. Whew. He was set up. Because all that God had said, all that had been prophesied by Isaiah, all that had been prophesied by Hosea, all that had been prophesied by Daniel, all that had been prophesied by Ezekiel, all that had been prophesied by Habakkuk, all that had been prophesied by Amos, all that had been prophesied by Joel, it was there, right here. He held that babe in his arms. The promise that God made to him that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And now he's holding that baby in his arms. Oh my goodness. Is it any wonder that he says, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you now dismiss your servant. In other words, I've seen it all. Everything worth seeing in this world, everything worth doing in this world, everything worth anything in this world has just been fulfilled as I had that baby in his arms. My eyes have seen your salvation. Hold on a minute. He's holding a baby. He's holding a baby. Good chance it was a stinky, smelly diaper on that baby. Because this whole purification thing, it took some time. So there's a good chance that baby Jesus had a soiled diaper. But in his arms, he realized by the working of the Holy Spirit that this baby was the Son of God. The answer for all mankind, the Messiah for Israel. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That baby was a fulfillment of God's eternal plan for mankind. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve made a choice to turn away from God and to turn to their own selfish desires, in that very moment of time, God spoke and told that precious lady, your seed will crush the head of the serpent. A promise, a prophetic promise came about thousands of years before Simeon. And he held that promise in his arms. Whew. I could think of a lot of songs to sing. Oh my goodness. You see, our God reigns. I said, our God reigns. He knows the end in the beginning. He knows how your life is going to unfold and how it's going to end. He knows today your end as well as he knows your present. That's the kind of God that sent Jesus into this world to die and to give his life so that we could be free. Oh. You now dismiss your servant in peace because I have seen your promise, your word fulfilled. Can I tell you this morning, if the person sitting next to you is asleep at this point, would you just nudge them? Or you can slap them if you'd like. It's fine. It doesn't matter to me, really. Here's the real punchline. Just like in Simeon's life, God has a plan for your life. Just like a tree from a mountainside became a manger, another tree, a boat, another tree, a cross. God has a plan for you and you and you and you and you and you and me. Now, you want something exciting in your life? Get a hold of that truth. The reality of that truth. Simeon was a man waiting. Because he sought the Lord until the Lord told him his plan for his life. I don't know what, the scripture doesn't tell us what else Simeon did in his life. His one big thing may have been to hold the Son of God in his arms and pray this blessing over he and his family. What's the big thing that God has planned for your life? Why were you planted here on this earth? What is his intention for you to become? I can give you a guarantee this morning. It wasn't to make money or to have fame or to gather stuff. God's plans are God's plans. And he has a plan for your life. I can only imagine as I stand up here and I look out across, I can only imagine what kind of plans, what big plans that God has for each and every one of you. See, how do you come to that? Well, first of all, you stop and listen. You acknowledge that God is the God of providence. He is the one who organizes. He is the one who rules. He is the one who has a plan that is bigger than our plan. You stop and you acknowledge the fact that he sent Jesus into Simeon's arms, but he grew and he hung on a cross so that you and I could say, I believe. I believe. I believe. And it's not just, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, but it is, I believe that the Son of God came and purchased my life and that God has a plan for me. You say, oh, but Pastor, you know, I don't have the education and I don't have the background. Credentials didn't matter. It doesn't say that Simeon was a PhD. It doesn't say that he was a great man. As a matter of fact, every indication was he was pretty humble. He was free on an afternoon to go into the temple. The key is listen and let God give you the plan for your life. And then live and love, and wait for the consolation, the comfort, the fulfillment of God's plan in your life. See, you don't have to work it through. I know at different times in my life, I've tried to work out the plan of God. I've made some expensive messes along the way when I've done it. Oh, I could tell you about him. The easiest thing is, and the best things are the ones that God brings to those who are waiting, to those who are longing, to those who are willing to be like Simeon, to be where God wants them to be, when God wants them to be there, to let his plan unfold for their life. Amen? Praise the Lord. In other words, we can be like the three trees, folks. Which tree are you?